Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. It has been an unprecedented year at CAP Radio and one of extreme hardship. This summer, CAP Radio laid off 12% of its staff, including at North State Public Radio, which CAP Radio operates, and the cuts included four longtime music programs as well as their hosts. And that was just the start of tremendous financial challenges that were brought to light. CAP Radio is an auxiliary of Sac State, which holds our license, and the university has always been responsible for CAP Radio's oversight. An audit by the California State University System detailed significant mismanagement in recent years by leaders who are no longer employed at CAP Radio. That is largely tied to an ambitious years-long move to a new downtown headquarters and creation of a live venue, both of which now have an uncertain future as CAP Radio's news and music stations still operate here on campus. During this time, myself and a group of CAP Radio colleagues have reported on our employer independently. And in following with NPR's protocol of reporting on itself, no CAP Radio corporate official or news executive reviewed our story before it was broadcasted or posted publicly. As we close 2023, we've invited CAP Radio Interim General Manager Tom Carlo to join us with an update on where things stand and CAP Radio's outlook for the new year. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Vicky.
So I want to start with really this grave warning that Sac State President Luke Wood delivered in a video release following that CSU audit back in September.
Our internal analysis of their budget indicates that CAP Radio will likely have no remaining financial resources by January.
So given that we're roughly 2 weeks to January, where does that risk of insolvency stand today?
Well, we just have had a budget meeting with the president that we had the just yesterday, and we were discussing that. And I'd like to preface it by saying when I came on board and I came out of retirement and I started on August 15th, I immediately put my mindset on keeping the programming of the two radio stations going as solid as we can, improving revenue opportunities, and trying to be honest and transparent with everyone. And over the last 4 months, because it's been 4 months that I started, we have seen an impact in revenue. And I feel right now we can get through the month of May. And so each month we seem to be kicking it down a little further. And I'm proud of what the team has done. We've seen an uptick in membership, corporate support, and major giving and car donation program. And the community has really helped to respond for us. So we're doing our best to keep us going alive and well. And we still have a heartbeat and we're still serving the community. And I think the work that we're doing on our news and information station and KXPR, our classical and jazz station, are as good as ever.
Yeah, I mean, and going along that, earlier this week, a press release from CAP Radio, you know, talked about that, celebrated a rating spike, resilient membership support, mm-hmm. saying, quote, despite financial challenges, listenership and membership is increasing. How is that being measured? What are you basing that on?
Well, first of all, on the membership, it's the amount of people that are, you know, calling and everything. And we've been very sensitive of our message points, and we wanted to be honest with everyone. And we had a September drive. Just a couple of weeks after the layoffs that we had, and we had a goal of 2,500 donations, and we had 5,000 donations.
So double.
And we had a goal of around 500,000, and we hit 1.2 million. And we've had 1,200 new members join CAP Radio, and we've had over 7,000 existing members increase their membership. And really, there's a lot of people that they want answers. They want to know what's going on. They're angry at how we got here. And I'm happy to say I wasn't here when it all went down. I'm trying to help. I'm trying to move us forward. But there are so many people that say, we can't lose CAP Radio. We can't let it go. It is so important for us. And our news and information is vitally important to not only the Sacramento community, but Stockton, Modesto, Chico, Humboldt, Redding. I mean, we serve a real big part of the state, including the Reno, Tahoe area. And our information and news, I think, is second to none. And so you know, the community is responding.
Given that, and we've heard this for many fund drives, that Cap Radio is primarily funded through listener support. If you're one of those new members or someone who upped their donations during this really difficult time, what is their money going towards? Is it just going to pay off the debt, or will it also benefit the news and programs, maybe even by extension, the staff who've been riding out a difficult time?
Yeah, right now, you know, our operating budget is actually much smaller than we anticipated. We anticipated some grants that have not come through from either the state of California, the federal government, and it has hurt us. So we've had to reduce our expenses. But everyone's membership is really going to the programming and the content. And I'm pleased to say, even though we laid off 12% of our staff, we've also had a lot of people that through attrition have moved on, and our staff has gone from around 103, I believe it was when I arrived on August 15th, to about 75 right now. We didn't touch the news team. We didn't touch the key components of KXPR, a classical station, in terms of the host and the jazz show and the and classical music. And in fact, we only added one position during this time that was a new position. And you know where that was, Vicky? It was on your team. We added a producer to Insight, because Insight is really our franchise show right now. And I say that as a compliment to you and your team. You do an excellent job of news analysis. And so we cut a lot of backroom stuff. We cut a lot of assistance. I have to do my own administrative assistance, which I'm happy to do, because people don't support us because of administration or management. They support us because of the content and the programming. And that is pretty much intact right now.
Given that Cap Radio has openly, publicly acknowledged, I mean, you even said it just a minute or two ago, like a need to restore trust. If you're a listener or reader or member who is skeptical of donating, maintaining their donation or increasing it, given the mismanagement and lack of oversight that has all come to light, what do you say to them?
Well, I say, first of all, I don't blame them for feeling that way. I think it's tragic what has been out in the news and what has happened to Cap Radio and where we are right now. And the reason why I came out of retirement after being retired for 2.5 years is, to me, Cap Radio was an incredible brand, and I wanted to make sure that Cap Radio didn't fold and still had a chance to be a valuable resource to our community during the 2024 election year, because people need to be informed leading up to the primaries and the general election. So I want to tell people that we are trying our best, but winning back trust takes time. I can't do it overnight, and we're doing it incrementally. And you asked me earlier about measurements and everything. We subscribe to the Nielsen ratings, and the Nielsen ratings have shown a tremendous spike in the time spent listening, in terms of the average quarter listenership, the audience gain of our primary audience, and our overall cumulative audience over a week. So people are coming back, but I know it'll take time. And I think the best thing for us to do is to continue and improve and do as good a work as we can. And I hope that trust will come back. But I also want to say that Sacramento State and Cap Radio, I almost said my former call letters, caught myself, are really doing our best to lead the team in a very difficult time. I mean, we are a much smaller organization, but we're still doing our best to deliver the best content we can.
You mentioned that we now have enough financial reserves to carry us through at least May. Realistically, are more layoffs a possibility, more cuts to programming?
Well, I hope not, but, you know, we're close to December 31st, which is just a couple of weeks away, and that is the mid-year of our fiscal year, which runs from July 1st to June 30th. And myself, and along with the financial people at Sacramento State, who have taken over our accounting to make sure that we are following every policy and procedure and rules and regulations, we have to do a deep dive the second week of January to, in fact, see where we are, see how we're doing at this midpoint. And, you know, I think we're doing well, but we've lost some revenue. We are not going to receive our $1 million federal support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting because it's based on an audit 2 years ago. And that audit was the one that was referenced in the Chancellor's Office examination audit, and it wasn't correct. And so I don't blame the corporation for holding off. So there's a big chunk there. You know, we had a couple of grants in that we were counting on from political politicians, and they have been put on pause, and that's taken a hit on us. So we have to readjust with our revenue projections. Are not going to be met that we started the year off on.
Yeah, and part of this is also North State Public Radio, NSPR.
Yes.
They're based in Chico. Cap Radio operates NSPR. Chico State holds the license to NSPR. How have the past 4 months been at this station?
Well, we work very closely with them, obviously, because we do a lot with them. We operate a lot of their back room and their accounting and stuff. Their general manager, Phil Wilkie, and I speak almost daily. I know their team of programming, Sarah Bohannon, works with our programming team constantly. And, you know, they're doing about as well as they can do. And they're serving what I think is possibly a news desert. What I mean by that, without NSPR serving Chico and operating the Humboldt station, I'm not sure those communities would have any quality journalism coming into their area. So we've got to keep it as vibrant as we can.
At the crux of all of this, a large part was this ambitious move to downtown. Two different buildings, a new headquarters, as well as a live venue. We are still talking on the Sac mm-hmm. State campus. We have not moved. What is the status of this move?
Well, it's a very fluid situation. First of all, and I'll be very honest, I'm not sure we're ready to move down there because once we move down there, we have a sharp increase in our operating expenses, janitorial, security, parking, utilities that we are not paying right now. The leases are being paid, but it's something that I think we need some more stability in our income here. And so we are staying here to tighten our belt. And so it is fluid. I cannot give you exactly what's going to happen down the line, but I can tell you we're discussing it very much with both the president and myself. And as we move forward, we're hoping to repopulate our governing board of directors. And that'll be something we all work on together. But I don't have an answer for that right now.
When you're talking about, you know, having discussions with Sac State and the leadership there, is it on the table that it may not actually happen and we'll just stay here?
Well, I would say that we've discussed every conceivable option of what is the best thing to, in the best interest of Cap Radio and serving the people not only of the Sacramento area, but the coverage area that we have all through Northern California.
Yeah, and given that we're an auxiliary of Sac State, and you mentioned the board of directors, you know, we're allowed to have a board of directors for the nonprofit. That board since disbanded, the majority of whom have resigned. And the university, as you mentioned, is currently working on a replacement. Where does a new Cap Radio board stand today?
Well, you know, I've distanced myself a little bit from exactly what President Wood and his team are doing, because I don't think it's good board policy for the general manager or the president of a nonprofit organization to be orchestrating how to bring in what new members you bring in and everything, because basically I'd be putting in the members that of the board that would be my boss. So President Wood is taking care of that. We do currently, I think, have 7 board members out of around 25 that were on before.
Are they mostly with the university?
There are 2 public members that stayed on, and there are myself, Natalie, who is the student body president.
The ASI president,
the
yes.
ASI president. She is a board member, and Terrence Lau, who is the provost of Chico State, he's a board member. Luke is on it, and Jonathan Bowman, the CFO of the university, and we have 2 public members on. And, you know, their idea is to repopulate the board so we can – there are decisions that we need board approval to do. Mm. So the day-to-day operation we're going along is the best we can.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest changes that people are probably understanding is that given that we're in auxiliary, Cap Radio had this financial independence that clearly has been compromised following the audit from the CSU system. And now Sac State is taking this larger role in managing and approving Cap Radio's finances. Given these challenges and really this heightened oversight that Sac State has been taking this year, is there any chance that we could be fully absorbed by the university?
Yeah, we could be. We could be. But I do think the situation we have as having a 501c3 auxiliary of Sacramento State and the state of California is something I hope we preserve. I mean, having the community have members that represent the community to help us with our strategic planning, our vision, where we're going, accountability, all of those things I think are much better if they stay as an auxiliary versus just going into the larger part of the university. So, but, you know, that is a possibility. My former stations in San Diego, KPBS, that was licensed to San Diego State University, we were not an auxiliary. We were a department of the university. And, you know, I think either way works, but we already have the auxiliary. So it's not the auxiliary that was the problem. It was some decisions that were made. And I think if the community wants to, I think getting the community involved will really help us as we move forward with Cap Radio.
Given that you're an interim general manager, and as you mentioned, you were brought on August 15th. That was roughly 2 weeks before the layoffs. President Luke Wood also inherited these challenges as well. He took the position in July. How long will you be at Cap Radio? And is there currently an active search for a permanent general manager?
Well, that decision is still going on too. I think it's safe to say that, yeah, I mean, I'm under no contract, so I mean, I'm at will and I'm fine with that. But the latest is I think I'm going to stay hopefully through May, into May, and then I think it's important for, you know, it'll be up to President Wood and hopefully a new reconstituted board to make a decision on moving forward.
But, so the board needs to come first, and in tandem with
right.
The Sac State president, they will choose the new
GM. Yeah, and they'll decide on a process. And, you know, there could be an interim named from the staff, or it could be, you know, a full-blown search. That's not my decision to make. But I will say that, you know, I'm not long term. You know, like I said, I came out to help, but not to be the permanent one long mm-hmm. range. But I'm also hoping that by my work with the team and people like you and everything, that we can reach some stability and then hand it off to someone who can really take it forward. Mm-hmm. And so that's my goal, is to bring stability and a level playing field for us to begin to rebuild and to continue to deliver great programming and rebuild the trust of the community.
We only have a couple of minutes left, but I want to get to some changes that are happening to programming here at Cap Radio. I've already announced it earlier this week. I mean, we're obviously going to communicate it a lot more to people,
yeah.
But there is a programming change to Insight. Come the new year, we are going to move to the noon hour. Can you explain why this change was made?
Well, I'm so excited about that. I think we're going to start on Tuesday, January 16th, which is the day after Martin Luther King Day. And, you know, when you look at the way people consume radio, you know, the biggest audiences are right in the drive times with what we have with Morning Edition and All Things Considered. And we mix in our local content and everything. But at 9 o'clock, you know, people start to go to work and they start to turn off the news and everything. But there is a spike of people who listen to radio on their lunch hour. They're out doing errands, they're out moving around, and all that. So the audience increases. And for me, it was a matter of, is why don't we put our signature local show, Insight, hosted by you, at a time of day when more people will be able to listen to it. And the other thing is, too, is right now when you're on at 9 o'clock, there could be breaking stories that are press conferences or whatever that are taking place at 9:30 or 10, and we don't talk about it till tomorrow. So I think we can be more timely with our news analysis of issues that are affecting at noon. And I think we can do a better job of getting guests here around the noon hour rather than break up their work day. So all of that means is, you know, we're investing more into making sure that that Insight and your work here, Vicky, and your team will be able to even reach more people. So I'm very excited about that. And the other big announcement we are doing, which we're doing right now, is we used to do our local news with Steve Milne in the morning and Devin Yamanaka in the afternoon, just during a morning edition and All Things Considered. But now we're doing news headlines local all day long. So you'll hear Andrew Garcia during the day. And so this is an expansion. So even though we've had all of these troubling issues that have affected us, we are increasing programming for all of everyone because we want to make sure everyone is as well informed as possible. So I'm very excited about the change.
We only have 30 seconds left, and this is the last question. And I know your job has always been looking forward, but there's still a lot of interest in understanding how all of this actually happened. Do you anticipate another audit, some type of forensic analysis, sometime soon, perhaps in January?
Well, there is a forensic audit that is being taken place. I have really nothing to do with it. It's being led by the Chancellor's office of the CSU system, and my understanding is hopefully we'll get something in either January or February, and I have no idea what's going to happen, but it's supposed to be a deeper dive into looking at what happened, and I think that's good for us because then we'll make sure it never happens again.
Tom, thank you.
Thank you, Vicky.
That is Cap Radio Interim General Manager Tom Carlo. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicky Gonzalez.
Hi there. If you're enjoying Insight, we think you'll love our podcast, Blue Dot, with your host, that's me, Dave Shlohm. Every week, we take a deep dive into science and nature, from the search for life beyond our pale blue dot in the vastness of space to the ecosystems we all depend on. You never know what you'll hear, from the physics of Leonardo da Vinci to communications with humpback whales. Check out Blue Dot wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Today is our last live show of the year. We do have some Insight specials to round out 2023, but our team will be taking the next 2 weeks to get working on next year's shows. In what's become an Insight tradition, we've decided it would be fun to sign off for the year with some news you can use for the upcoming holidays. And we are specifically speaking about wine and music. Rick Cushman is our wine expert here on Insight, and Jennifer Reason, of course, is Cap Radio's classical host and a lover of the holiday season, coupled with good old wine. And they are literally the perfect pair to pair wine and music for the upcoming holidays. So welcome to you both. It's always a treat. It's a lot of fun.
Yay. Thank you. Welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Perfect pair.
So before we dive into Jennifer's musical tour around the world, which is just awesome, you know, Rick, a lot of people are going to holiday parties right now. I mean, there's just a lot of socializing and gathering. What do you recommend people take?
Well, you know, one of the things to remember is most of those parties are what I call occasions of unintended fusion, right? Everybody brings all kinds of weird stuff, and
that's
they
a good
don't
way to
and,
put
the,
it.
The, and the you know the sushi doesn't match the wings, you know. So the bring wines that are versatile. Bring wines that you like, but don't, you know, sort of like don't overdo it. Bring and so fun stuff, and I always talk about like in the non-red category, Jennifer's friend Bubbles.
My dear friend Bubbles.
Oh, my friend Bubbles,
too.
And
your friend, too. Yeah. Absolutely. And Rosé are two great examples. Sauvignon Blanc is good. You know, Sierra Foothills has some whites that work really well, like Vermentino, which a lot of the Foothill wineries make. And we tend to forget about it. In the red category, you know, Pinot Noir and Zinfandel are really good sort of all purposes. But the one thing that I always try to remember, and throughout when we start to talk about it, is still the most popular wines of California are Chardonnay and Cabernet. So you're never a loser. So if you're bringing a party or going to a party, what would you want to drink, Jennifer?
See, I land on the Sauvignon Blanc and the Pinot train myself. But Bubbles, seriously, if you hand me a glass of sparkling rosé, I will be happy the whole night.
Yeah, I go to Bubbles for sure.
That is going to be actually the all-purpose answer to everything we talk about today.
Bubbles.
Yes.
Pink or otherwise.
And there are a lot of great options. I mean, obviously, you can go outside of California, but there are some wonderful California sparkling wines.
Oh, there are. There are many. And even our local areas, there are folks like, and we can we post? I don't know that we allowed.
We posted it on our show page. I sent you some.
Yes. So, but things like Acquiesce in Lodi, you know, Andes in Amador, and then Napa Valley has so many great wineries. One of the homegrown ones there is Schramsberg. One of my faves is Schramsberg Blanc de Blanc, which means it's a bubbly made from completely Chardonnay, though it just makes it a little bit richer than some of the others. But there's, you know, lots there in Roeder Anderson Valley, which is a great and really inexpensive but classy, bubbly Piper Sonoma. There's so many.
I recently tried Scharfenberger, and it's from Mendocino County in the Anderson Valley. It was very good. I mean, the options are endless, whether you're up in the higher elevations or down in, you know, Napa, Sonoma, and the North Coast.
One way to think about it is if you like Pinot Noir, particularly, but Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, cooler wine regions, that's where bubbly is really good because bubbly needs to be cool. So if Pinot and Chardonnay are sort of their specialties, like they are in Burgundy and in France, that's where your bubbles come from.
We're lucky to live here.
Yeah. We are.
So before we get to the music, you're obviously going to bring something for the host if they're hosting a party. What is the best wine to give them? I mean, I typically bring two bottles, one for the party, one for the host. Is that the right etiquette?
That's lovely. I mean, I think, you know, that one of the things to do, if you want to signal that it's a gift, put it in a bag. Put one of them in a bag. You could say, you know, and the other one is, you know, do this whatever you'd like. This is for you. You can open it if it's something special. You could tell them that, you know, be direct and say, this is a special wine. For example, if it was bringing a Jennifer's party, you would say, this is a special bubbly.
Yes. Just for you.
And but it's once you give it to them, it is theirs to decide what to do with. So don't say no, 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 or you got to open it or whatever. You know, it's totally theirs. So that's always sort of one of the keys is remember that you're just trying to be generous. And the other one is if you can, it's really nice to know either what they like or bring them a wine that has a personal touch for you. You know, that's because wine is that, right? Wine's a happy thing. And it makes us, there's always these stories we tell. And we saw this one time when we were, I don't know, going down the Central Coast or I was in France. You know, whatever that is you want to say. And that makes the wine very personal too.
Yeah. And creating an experience.
Yes.
So let's get into music.
Well,
Jennifer,
I'm so excited.
You have curated December Around the World.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Oh, I'm so excited. This is my third iteration of this special. And every year in December, I kind of take us on a tour around what does the rest of the world sound like? We are so inundated by Christmas carols here. But what are the unfamiliar tunes from other cultures?
Yeah. And we have a pretty fun, I guess it's become kind of like a game here on Insight.
Yes.
Where literally Jennifer plays a clip and Rick on the spot knows what to pair it with. Well, it is so much fun.
He's never heard it.
Well, knows may not be the word. Suggests, however, but
yes.
I'm doing this blind.
Yeah. All right, so let's start in Turkey.
Great, Turkey it is.
Thank you. There's some like spice to that.
Oh, well, you know what I learned is that Saint Nick is actually Turkish. So Istanbul in particular has a massive Christmas celebration, even though it's not a national holiday. But Saint Nick is from Turkey. So I found so many Turkish Christmas carols.
I learned something new today.
Okay, so first I got to say, Jennifer, you rock. That is such a great song.
Isn't it?
So that's a very Turkish song.
Yes.
So, you know, Turkey, by the way, Turkey is like one of the birthplaces of wine. You know, Georgia is sort of credited, but that whole region, wine goes back to 6,000 BC. And so that is one of the places. It's got to be a Turkish wine. And what comes to mind for me, which is one of their most well-known wine, is a wine called, oh, I never get it right, Akuguzu. Akuguzu, I think, is how it's pronounced. You'll see it's got lots of accent marks on it. It means ox-eye, and it's this big, round, rich red that's got a little bit of acidity to it. So it's, you know, a little bit like an Italian wine, but it's just full of fruit, like red fruit, and it would be perfect with that song.
Mm.
All right, we're going to move to Israel, Jennifer.
Yes, we are in the middle of Hanukkah, so here is the Hanukkah Waltz with Bella Fleck.
Kind of like a sultriness to it,
yeah.
But also like a deliberateness
yeah.
to it as well.
And a touch of mystery.
Yes,
yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. So, well, Israel is actually, it's become a really good wine region. A lot of it goes back, another country with a very long history, not quite as long as Turkey, but a very long wine history, thousands of years. But only in the last couple of decades have they really started producing, you know, international class wines, French grapes, and those sorts of things. A wine that grows really well there that I think is kind of a richer, one of my favorite whites that gets forgotten is Semillon. And you can find that foothills too, by the way, a handful of wineries. But that has a spice to the wine, like that song. It's got a richness to this, like that wine. But it's also a wine that's a little mysterious because it's a little different every time it's made.
Oh, I'm learning so much.
We are heading to another country. We're heading to Germany.
Germany, yes. This is a holiday that just passed, Krampusnacht, where instead of Santa, the demon Krampusnacht comes out and chases little children for being bad.
I picture a story to this. Like, it should be in, like, a Broadway musical.
Oh, 100%. There's always a sleigh. There's always a bag the children get put into when they get chased.
All right, Rick.
Shouldn't laugh.
Well, that's a difficult. So, you know, you said Germany, and I'm thinking, because Germany, it's a cooler wine region, and they make lots of Riesling. And
I was going to say, you were going to go sweet, weren't you?
or lighter, brighter wine. So they do make some reds, and the Pinot Noir there is very, very good. And one of the things about their Pinot is it has these layers of depth because cooler regions make Pinot that has, the wines have a story. Their Pinots have a story like that song. So I'm going with the German Pinot Noir.
I love that.
I love it. Oh, and last but not least, we're going Irish-American.
Irish-American.
This has some levity to it.
Oh, yeah. It's just called Christmas Jig with Yo-Yo Ma.
It just makes you happy.
Doesn't it? Yeah, I'm sitting here smiling.
Yeah, that's a good one. Another tough one. So Ireland really does not have much of a long wine.
I think whiskey, too, yeah.
No, but you know what I'm going with? I'm going with mead.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
And not just any mead. You can find these sparkling mead.
Oh, my gosh. You're kidding.
I'm going to go search for that.
If I can put a plug in for Lucid Winery, which is...
I love Lucid.
Yeah, Lucid
in,
makes
in Midtown.
In Midtown. And they make a sparkling mead. And it is perfect for this song because it's not as sweet as you expect. It's a little bit, but it's light and it's a happy wine. So there we go. We're going sparkling mead. For an Irish American
song. It's like a down home quality to mead, too. That feels right for a jig, doesn't it? Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. So, speaking of sparkling, can I ask a quick quiz for you guys? So, how many bubbles do you think is in a bottle of sparkling?
I remember you asked this last year, and I don't remember my response, but I'm going to say millions.
Yeah.
Millions.
Seems about right.
There are millions. So, the University of Reims Champagne d'Ardon, which is the UC Davis of the Champagne region, right? They study wine and they do all kinds of stuff, and they study all kinds of reasons to perfect the carbonation within the. And so, like, for example, that will tell us that there's 6 atmospheres inside a bottle of champagne.
That's amazing.
They used to say 100 million bottles. And a lot of places you'll see like 23, and I don't know where that number comes from, but they say, with great authority, 5 million bubbles.
Wow.
Although,
5 million.
Yes. Although, remember, it could be a trick question, too, because there are actually no bubbles until it's opened.
Right. And ooh. Then when you open it, I mean, I know sometimes people want to get festive and, like, saber it off, which is, you know, you want to be safe. But also, other people, you know, if you don't want to do that, you know, will, like, pop off the cork. But you kind of advise against that.
Oh, yeah, no, don't pop it. I mean, it's super fun. If you have a really, really cheap bottle of wine, sure, pop it, and then we'll get a good bottle. But what happens is, not only do you lose the wine, but you also lose the bubbles. You lose a lot of that carbonation right at the start.
Interesting.
And we certainly don't want to do that. Can I ask you another quiz?
Yeah.
Okay, we were just talking about this outside. So why do you think that the bubbles in a flute come straight up?
I got this answer wrong.
I think it's because, just all the carbonation. If it hits down, it kind of, the reaction it creates, it kind of like bounces back up in true effervescence. I don't know.
Yes. Well, actually, it's because the flute makers cheat. They put a little notch at the bottom of the wine so that you get that really pretty stream. If you get a really inexpensive flute, you'll see they come up a little less evenly. But that, you know, but who doesn't love that
lovely
stream of bubbles? Yes.
I love that. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, those are my bar questions.
Learned a lot today. Thank you so much, Rick and Jennifer. It's
so
always
fun.
A fun, fun, fun tradition.
Thanks for having us.
I look forward to it each year.
And that is our wine expert, Rick Cushman, and Jennifer Reason, who is Cap Radio's classical host. And we have posted Rick's list of favorite sparkling wines from California. It is on our Insight page at capradio.org. And be sure to catch Jennifer's special, December Around the World, on December 20th, which is next Wednesday. And then it will re-air on Christmas Eve. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment. We'll be right back.
Hi there. If you're enjoying Insight, we think you'll love our podcast, Blue Dot, with your host, that's me, Dave Shlohm. Every week, we take a deep dive into science and nature, from the search for life beyond our pale blue dot in the vastness of space to the ecosystems we all depend on. You never know what you'll hear, from the physics of Leonardo da Vinci to communications with humpback whales. Check out Blue Dot wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Well, many of you already have your Spotify Wrapped playlist, but there are great musical acts with local ties that released music this year. Ish. We put a call out to Cap Radio colleagues and asked which songs rose to the top for them in 2023, and they did not disappoint. Cap Radio midday anchor Andrew Garcia is going to help me with the top picks. Hey, Andrew.
Hi, Vicky.
Well, let's just get right to it.
Yeah.
I'm going to start off, you know, the new track that I'm going to choose is Overcome, and that is from Rituals of Mine, and the creative mind behind that is Tara Lopez.
Yes.
Is a familiar name here. Tara was the host of Cap Radio's newest podcast, This Is What It Feels Like, and I'm sure you are familiar with Tara Lopez as well.
So talented. I'm jealous. Multi threat there, you know, radio host and musician.
I know. Well, she released a new single this fall, and it is called Overcome. Used to pray for good news, now I pray for more time. If I could be honest, all I wanted was you by my side. When reading Tara's description for the song on her Instagram profile, I mean, it's about, you know, only having limited time with a loved one and how that changes how you spend that time with that person you love.
I was hit very heavy with the lyrics. It's such a beautiful and like free floating song, but also like lyrically so dense and rich. It sort of feels like going to therapy, but like instead of laying on a couch, you're like in the clouds.
Yeah,
it's super beautiful, and I really related to a lot of what was going on in there.
Me as well. Okay, Andrew, what was your pick?
So I had this song "Cramps" by Slow Pulp. It's shoegazy, it's punky indie rock. They're from Madison, Wisconsin. Their album that came out this year is called Yard, and despite it only being released in late September, this song, Cramps, worked its way to the top of my 2023 year-end playlist.
Like takes me back to the 90s.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
It's got so much fun.
It's got some nostalgia going on there with like the shoegaze and punk. Some of their other tracks take some influence from like early 2000s pop rock. But it's also feels very new and lively and energetic. I can't stop listening to it. It's so good.
I can see why. So moving on now is Avery Jeffrey. And Avery is our Excellence in Jazz host. And he said for him, it is probably Weighed Up by the Cosmic Roots, their local group. And this track was released in early November. I gotta keep on
I Feeling broke is no joke, man, I swear to God. Even though I work hard, really on my job, I don't care what these folks is really talking about. Worry about the expectations, got me knowing now. Moving forward to a billet, progress to a skillet. Got bills to pay, so there's just no way you gon' stop me now. I gotta get my way.
I am loving this variety that is coming from our colleagues, our coworkers.
It's so good. It just speaks to the wide variety of folks and tastes that we have here at Cap Radio. It was really fun hearing all the different things coming in. And this track is like super good.
Oh, it's amazing.
Neo Soul. You got some jazz.
I started
jazz
following them on Spotify.
Me as well. They have a new song coming out tomorrow if folks want to look it up, Cosmic Roots. They feel very similar to something like Robert Glasper or, you know, like the regular Roots. The terrestrial roots, if you want to call them that. But this song is super great. I can't wait to catch a live show. I feel like their sort of vibe would be really great, sitting in the bar, maybe with an old fashioned. I don't have any wine pairings for any of these songs like Rick had. But
wine was, it's so last segment.
There we go.
We can move to an old fashioned.
Cocktails now. Old fashioned, listen to some Cosmic Roots.
Or mocktails for those who are teetotalers as well.
Mm-hmm, of course.
So moving on now, we have Srishti Prabha. And Srishti is our K-12 education reporter. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to read their quote, their selection. Ooh, how about Victoria Monet's On My Mama? She's from SAC and just performed a few weeks ago. So amazing. Let's take a listen.
I put that on my own mama, on my hood. I look fly, I look good. You can't touch my back, but you could. I look fly, I look too good. Put that on my own mama, on my hood. I look fly, I look good. You can't touch my back, but you could. I look fly, I look too good.
Now, this may be like the most mainstream song, but I love listening to this song over and over again.
I've been referring to it as self-hype. You've heard of self-help, but this is self-hype.
When you're getting ready for the day, you know, song to listen to.
Go get an interview, go anything. I think Sacramento should adopt this as an anthem.
Yes.
You know, people have been taken to chanting like Light the Beam. They can sing this song in the streets to hype themselves up, to hype up Sacramento. It's great.
All right. And so the last one is Sarah Camilla from member engagement here at Cap Radio. And Sarah likes this local group called Mediocre Cafe. And the music video of the song you're about to hear was filmed at the Crest Theater. There's such a chill quality to this. I love it.
It's very beautiful. It's easy to float to. I feel like it's like a wandering song.
Yes.
If you've got some wanderlust and you just kind of want to vibe out walking through Midtown, I can kind of picture it. This track is really the one.
You know, I think we just have great people here. We should create our own, like, a playlist, you know, Cap Radio staff favorites.
We should, yeah. We should get that going and push it out there on all your favorite platforms. we'll have some great stuff. We can get Tom in on the action as well.
Sure.
Get all everybody.
Everyone at Cap Radio. Thank you so much, Andrew. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me.
That is Cap Radio Midday anchor Andrew Garcia, and he was helping me sort through the top Cap Radio staff music picks with local ties in 2023. And that is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to join the conversation, you can email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producer Sarit Lashinsky and managing editor Aram Sarkissian. Our digital producer and audio engineer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director is Mark Jones. And our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. And I'm Vicky Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. This is our last live show of the year. We have a special week of shows to round out 2023 at the end of December, but we will join you live after the new year. So have a great rest of 2023. And thank you for tuning in this year. We really appreciate it.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.